Hello, and welcome to Finding My Marbles, a podcast detailing the personal healing journey from mental illness to mental wellness. My name is Zachary Steierwald, and I'm your host. This podcast is presented as a monologue and is a space to hear lived experience of the intersection of mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Through balancing these three dimensions of wellness, I've begun to cultivate more inner peace in day-to-day life, and I'm here to share this exploration with you. If you're working with mental illness yourself, diagnosed or not, or have a loved one with a similar life path, you've come to the right place. You are not alone on this journey. Round two. Today I'm going to talk about resourcing and how resourcing and why resourcing is important. Within my own journey with mental health, I have noticed that resourcing has become more and more influential in my life, the more that I am able to lean in and rely on it. So it's one of those things where I didn't know how important it was until I was already doing it. So I'll try my best to explain this in a way that makes sense so that you can start trying it for yourself. If I am experiencing any type of symptom, for lack of a better word, then there's the ability for me to rely on something else or resource. This is a moment in time when we can call on friends. This is when we can call family. This is when we can use a coping skill to mitigate or reduce the amount of symptoms that we're experiencing. There's also the ability to rely on other sources for that resourcing. When we're in a healing process and understand that there's the ability to tap into other influences for this healing, then we are taking that step to have a dialogue and a healing process that may not necessarily make sense to our logical mind. Within this space of understanding and leaning into resourcing, if I am experiencing an extreme amount of anger for whatever reason, or anxiety, or you choose your own emotion here, I have the ability to sit and observe. And then the resourcing comes in, not from observing, but being able to go beyond. And this going beyond is not necessarily bypassing. This is a going beyond to a place or a source that can provide the ability for this part to decompress. Within my own meditation process, this looks like me sitting in the chair and finding my feet on the floor, and usually the emotions are up here in the body. You know, I can be feeling something in my face, I can be feeling it in my head, I can have all of these thoughts happening, but there are parts of my body that are more neutral. And these parts that are neutral become important for this resourcing. It's possible for us to resource within the body and without. So I'll start with the with part. When I'm resourcing within the body itself, I want to find one of these neutral regions because everything else is charged. I usually find my feet on the floor and I pay attention to the sensations that I can feel. It may be the carpet under my feet. It might be the energy running through my foot. And I'll lean into that energy in just a few minutes. It may also be paying attention to my hands and the way that it feels like my hands are weighted to my legs. And just paying attention to the sense of gravity there. It may be feeling my body in space on the chair and paying attention to gravity. Being able to find our way out of the mind and the body in this instance is taking us away from the charge because we can't do anything because it's so charged. It is so big that there's just no possibility of coming out of that until there is a shift. And this is introducing that space for the shift to happen. So I may sit in meditation and focus on my feet or my hands or gravity for a matter of 15 minutes to an hour to really allow that resourcing to happen. I'm allowing another source to reconstruct my experience. Through this reconstruction process, we are really allowing something greater than what our mind can produce and what our body can produce to allow that shift to happen. It's like that muscle at the gym. The more that I do this, the more I am able to fully lean in and resource more often. The less that I believe the stories of anger or anxiety or worry or stress or whatever it may be, because I have another way of working with it. So going back to the energy piece, when I sit, I usually feel, see, and hear energy. And it's a very personal relationship. It's different for everybody, but for me specifically, I literally see the energy coursing through my foot, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Sometimes there's a pin in the middle of my foot, and it's kind of a grounding pin, and I can just watch the energy flow through that. It's about an inch. It's not a ton of space, but being able to simply watch something other than the thoughts and the emotions that are so difficult allows me to get out of this space. Beginning to notice what resourcing looks like for you. It's easy for us to call a friend. It's easy for us to rant, to kind of figure it out logically. And there's nothing wrong with that. This is just an opportunity to explore something different. So beginning to take the time to really start to increase the amount of capacity we have to redirect the stream of consciousness. It's important. It really is. Because all of a sudden, if we're talking about creating a life for ourselves that doesn't include stress, anger, anxiety, these emotions that are really intense and difficult, then we need a new way of working with them. Being able to take this small shift each and every time we're triggered, it doesn't mean we're triggered less, it just means we have a different coping mechanism, one that is internally based instead of externally based. And when this turns on, it takes time. It's like, you know, playing basketball. I'm not going to go onto a basketball court and start shooting three-pointers. I have to learn how to throw the ball. I have to learn how to interact with team members. I have to make sure that I'm in the right spot and not going to be blocked by an opponent. The same is true for this resourcing practice. It's not perfect. It's not perfect for me even. I sit and I watch the energy, but that doesn't mean I don't keep coming back. I may come back to the mind and get stuck for another 20 minutes before I realize that I'm resourcing. I may have to remember to go back to this point to focus so that I can continue doing something different. Like I talked about last episode, the ability to experiment here is where the golden egg is. If I really want to find that treasure chest, it's going to be by doing something different in my life to have a different type of reality, to have that different type of result present itself. So that's what resourcing is here to introduce, is that potential for something different. And within this podcast, I'm not going to just be talking about resourcing. There are so many different topics that I want to introduce so that you can try them to see if they work for you. Because ultimately, it's about freedom. And when I say freedom, I don't mean, oh my God, he can do whatever he wants to. What I mean is I am mentally working towards freedom. I am working towards mental freedom. I am allowing the triggers and the thoughts and the emotions to come forward so that I can have a new relationship with them, so that I am no longer controlled by them. My thoughts, my emotions, my feelings, my reality don't have to be so ingrained in who I am and what I do and how I act. They can be a little looser. And when we get to a point, they're no longer controlling us. And that's where freedom is introduced, in the aspect or the perspective that it's not my master. They're here to teach me how to relate to myself in a different way, but they're not here to control me. This ability to resource is really a big one too, because we have the ability to do it even when there's minor thinking happening. If I'm sitting in meditation or even driving down the street and I'm thinking and I just notice that I'm having thoughts, they don't have to be charged or energetically like linked to anything. It could just be the thinking that we have throughout the day. I can pay attention to that and I can notice that this is kind of pointless chatter. Is this beneficial to me at all? And what would be more beneficial? Is there another space that I could be in? And noticing that that's the potential to resource somewhere else. Can I align myself with some other part of me that isn't having thoughts? Can I pay attention to my foot? Can I pay attention to my toe? Is there a body part that I want to focus on? Could I potentially pay attention to the space outside of my body? You know, I remember doing a space meditation for the first time probably 8 years ago now. And the meditation instructor encouraged us to have our eyes open and pay attention to how much space there was in a room. Not the objects, but the space. It was interesting because there's this component of being able to expand our conscious awareness outside of the body into the space. There's potentially a resource there too to be explored of what does it feel like for me to be aware of what's outside of the body. If I were to pay attention to this room right now, it's like I see the plants, I see the lamps, I see the artwork taking up space, and I see the space in between. And even cognitively thinking about the space and seeing it in my mind allows me to almost transcend thought. Transcend is a word that gets, you know, a bad rap. In this instance, I mean transcend in the sense that we are no longer thinking in the same way that we were previously. When I'm ruminating, when I'm angry, whatever that may be, there is always the potential to shift. It doesn't have to be big. It can be. If you want to dive into the deep stuff, go for it. But I definitely encourage baby steps to begin with because we can't solve world hunger by ourselves. The ability for us to notice small things is just as important as noticing the big ones. And the more that we catch ourselves in any type of experience, the more adept we will be at noticing and shifting for all instances in the future. And by all, I mean, you know, it's a process and a practice of noticing that I can do it in this avenue of life. How do I transition it to another one so that I can do it there as well? I know for me, I have this ability to really be aware of instances where I can pay attention to the emotions and thoughts when it's in the body and related to things that are not relationship oriented. But as soon as it comes to relationships, I'm like, out of my realm of expertise. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to behave. Like my mind and my body just, whoop, I'm gone. For me, it's being able to shift, and neuroplasticity is important here. Pay attention to where I was so triggered before and bringing it to paying attention to where I was able to apply this practice before the resourcing and see how it was done and then introduce the possibility here in this realm as well. So if I was decent at calming myself down from my dog barking at somebody because I was resourcing and then transferring that awareness and ability to being able to resource when I'm angry at my parents because of something they did. Because that's usually a more heated instance, it takes a little more practice to focus on resourcing, to not get caught up in, oh, well, now I want to engage in a negative coping mechanism, to be trying something new instead of going back to the old ways. It just takes practice. And when I say it takes practice, I really do mean it. It's not something that's going to necessarily shift overnight. My meditation journey has been going on since 2010. And it's been very, very enlightening and a lot of fun and very difficult at the same time. It's almost like every single time I sit, I meet something new. And this isn't to discourage anyone, but it is to kind of give you a real, true glimpse at what meditation is. It is meeting that resistance every single time, no matter what it is. and being able to sit with it to really understand what's happening. I want to understand what's happening in my mind and body. So how can I be with the resistance or myself in a way that's allowing all of that to process? It takes a lot of grace, a lot of patience, compassion. You know, it's like we're learning to love ourselves on a deeper level here. How can I love myself more right now? There is some truth in understanding that pain isn't true. It's not the only reality. Every single experience that we have is one side of the coin. It's like I can't possibly see both sides of the coin at the same time. I can hold the coin in my hand and experience the whole coin. But from my own eyes, I mean, I guess if I hold it right here and cross my eyes, it would be one thing. But if I hold it in my hand, from my own eyes, I cannot see both sides of the coin. It's physically impossible. No matter what my experience is, cognitively, I can remember that there is more to this experience. But it is for me to experience that side of the coin at that moment. It's so easy for us to bypass, to think, oh, I shouldn't be feeling this right now, so that I can experience something else without fully embracing what's being presented. And that present of what's happening currently is the gift that keeps on giving. What I mean by that is when we are presented with the pain, with the hurt, with the whatever the emotion, the mental, physical, thought, whatever it may be, when we're presented with that, that is the opportunity for us to experience it and to resource and to allow this to be integrated. A lot of this journey is about embodiment, to be in the body. And to do that, we have to feel. We have to be able to have this new relationship with our mind and body that isn't based in Western sociological perspective of thinking that the body is not a part of the mind. The body is the mind. The body keeps the score to the degree that the body is the mind. And when we tap into the shoulder or, you know, the thigh, there is this component of really understanding that we're understanding the mind better, the psychology of the body. When I feel into my knees when they're in pain, it's for me to understand the psychological connection of those knees. Somatics is a good term here if you're interested in looking into it. The process of embodiment is here for us to learn how to be with ourselves, to be with our bodies. We were born in them, we die with them, and we may not necessarily know what happens before or after that. But knowing that my goal here on earth is to live as fully in this body as possible, I'm going to give it its due diligence. I want to give this body the time to teach me. If I am my own teacher, let me dive into it. Let me pay attention to what's happening so that I don't have to be controlled by the things that have always controlled me. You know, those habit patterns, the loops that we get stuck in of, okay, well, I guess today I'm going to go to Starbucks and pick up my coffee and then work on the laptop, and being able to notice when those things are happening, whatever they may be. I walk my dog and I get angry and then I pay attention to why I'm angry. If we're not giving ourselves the ability to notice what's happening, then are we able to really grow? By no means am I saying this is an easy process, but it's fun. The ability to meet density and contrast in the meditative space, to feel like you're not okay, and to truly be with not being okay and watch it transform into something else is the gift. If I'm sitting with not okay and resourcing somewhere else so that that not okay could be itself, then it turns into something. I allowed the not okay to be with this energy, to be with grounding, to be with gravity, to be with another force of nature. And now it's not the same. We can get so scared of change. And we can also be scared of not changing. So how is it that you can introduce a change or a shift in perspective that allows things to start changing? and then noticing how your life becomes more magical because of it. Since I've been following this meditative journey, I have noticed that giving myself the opportunity to shift and change has provided so much clarity and opportunity for me to expand, not only in the mental, physical, and emotional, but also in the spiritual, and just really being able to be in this body again. I think mental illness is, you know, from here up, and meditation really allows the embodiment of coming back down to be grounded, to feel again, to not just be in the head and thinking and above the head and in the clouds, but to really be here, to be here and to be happy with it. It's almost like bipolar is the swing from being manic and heady to being too grounded and thinking that that's wrong. And that's when the depression hits. And the embodiment of both, allowing for this more flowy nature, is giving the opportunity for us to not be controlled by this sociological perspective that mental illness is bad or wrong. It's really changing the narrative on this stigma to allow us to be human, to say, your experience is valid. How is it that I can embody mental illness in a healthy way today? How is it that I can embody more of my experience so that I understand it? Providing ourselves space is the most caring thing we can do in this world. Because when we're giving to ourselves, we're able to more fully give to others. It's why we're here to be independent interdependently, to truly love ourselves so much that our cup flows over for others, so that I'm no longer walking this world for someone else. I'm walking it for me, and everybody around me benefits because I'm able to share the love. So that's a wrap for this episode of Finding My Marbles. Thanks for tuning in. If anyone came to mind while you were listening to this episode, I encourage you to forward it to them. They might need it now more than you know. This podcast is all self-produced, so if you feel like supporting me in this endeavor, please find the podcast link in the show notes to make a donation. When I'm not spending time finding my marbles, I devote myself to assisting family members, both genetic and chosen, through their loved ones' experience with serious mental illness. If you'd like to learn more or are interested in working with me, please visit the website returnhome.us. I'm sending you so much love for whatever it is you're currently exploring, and I hope you're able to circle around again soon. Okay, love you, bye.